Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core episode 229. We're here to talk about the goings-on in the video game industry and some of the games we've been playing. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And welcome to the show, everybody. Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. I was talking about on TMS how that's fun to say. I like the 2020s.
Like, oh, that in are there. We close to optimal 2020?
We missed it. You'd need a month. You'd need a 20th month to make it perfect, right? But for the whole rest of the year, every month in the year 2020 has a 2020, or it has a 2020 in it. So three 20s.
February 2020 would have been the
February had some great days.
Yeah, it did. It was pretty good. Yeah. But yeah, we have to wait until 3000 until anything's cool again. So enjoy.
Yeah, 2020, man. It's been isn't quite a year. Right?
Oh my gosh, well, I'll be gone by then, right? Year 3000? Yeah. That's a long time away. It's 900 Maybe. Years from now, right?
Maybe.
They might I be haven't able to ruled out that we won't all be gone by 2021 just yet, so, you know.
Oh, I laugh, but I cry, but I laugh. But I cry, but then I laugh. Wow. Anyway, hey, everybody. Video games are still fun and while we're here, so let's keep playing them. We're going to talk about some of those today and have a good time. So thanks for being here and hanging around with us. Let's get started. So in the midst of all the terrible, awful things that happened in the wake of some revelations there at Ubisoft, you probably at home have heard many of these, lots of bad stuff. Second in command basically fired heads of various studios within the organization, gone out of there. Now word that a lot of the stuff that has been going on, they have not talked about or done anything about at the highest levels for a very long time. And then today, saw this getting floating around, this article. They also revealed that repeatedly they were scrapping ideas or plans for female antagonists in their game, or protagonists rather, leads in their games because they didn't think it would sell as well as putting dudes in there. Starts all the way back with Syndicate, and of course, affected in particular the Assassin's Creed games, which makes me wonder if they were just lying to us when, what was the French one?
Where they famously said that it would be too much trouble to animate a female character.
Yeah, too much work to involve. They couldn't go back and do it. They do better next time. And, you know, to their credit, I suppose they did. I mean, 2015 Syndicate had both a female and male lead. and yeah, you swap back and forth.
The report said that it was planned to be even screen time split between them, but a request was made to give the male character, Jacob, I think his name was, more content in the game.
Yeah.
And then, I guess for Origins, they were going to have Bayek actually die in the middle of that game. And I believe his wife was planned to take over at a certain point in the story.
She was cool. That's a great idea. Yeah.
That got completely cut.
Huh.
And then for Odyssey, the plan was to have Cassandra be the main character and the main lead of that. Instead, they decided to opt to have a choice, which was split 50-50. But it also kind of explains, if that was the intent, why we always say, oh my gosh, Cassandra is a better character.
Yeah, and why the other
dude on the box too, right?
Yeah, dude on the box, that's right. Well, yeah. Digital stuff had a mix, but the box, the actual printed box, was dude.
The key art, the, you know, this is Assassin's Creed, like Odyssey had a dude on it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so it's funny because, John, I agree, it does explain a lot about why, if Cassandra was the focus of that game, and they last minute tacked in a dude, it felt like it. Like he felt tacked in last minute. He did not feel like a fleshed out character in the way that she did. So that explains a lot, but it also goes counter to the, what was the name of the damn French one?
Was it Unity?
Unity. Gosh, freaking dang it. All right. Unity. Their excuse was, oh, it's too hard to get a lady in there in the end. But they figured out how to do it with a dude in Odyssey, didn't they? They figured that one out. So yeah, I don't know.
That one out real quick.
I don't need. Here's the thing. I don't need the vision of a game to adhere to any 50-50 split on anything. I don't need that. What I need is a clear vision, and then stick to your vision, and don't let your shitty internal shit get in the way. So if you have a vision to say this is Cassandra's game, make that game. Don't have some last minute thing going, oh, we better put a dude in there. Or if you're going to have the 50-50, great, do it. Like, but have that be your plan all along. How about in Unity? If you just wanted a dude, say so, own it. Don't beat around the bush, make up excuses. I would love to have the choice. I'd love the idea. If Cassandra had never happened, I don't think I'd be playing Assassin's Creed anymore because she's that good. So do what's great. And then be honest about what you're doing, whatever that thing may be. And if you're trying to pretend to be a company with lots of inclusion, then actually do that. Don't have all this insider bullshit that's contrary to that. Really bums me out because I like Ubisoft. I'm playing an Ubisoft game right now, which I'll talk about later in the show, which I really like. They've kept it going nicely and everything. And I can be a lady in there too. I don't, well, but
the,
I could be.
The claim is that, you know, female leads don't sell video games. That's the big belief. I would say that we need legitimate proof of that, because if you look at the history of the industry, it's not an industry that has given a fair and even shake for that to be a statistic that can be proven. You know, it's like comparing high school athletes to middle school athletes and saying, well, you know, This one group of athletes is bad. Well, I mean, maybe you just haven't pulled from the right pool of games or whatever. That's a bad analogy, but
I see where you're going.
Point is that AAA games and the top quality games, I got to be careful when I say A and B on the show. but AAA games haven't been as inclusive historically. So to say that, like, well, they don't sell, okay, but they also didn't exist. So you can't sell something that doesn't exist.
Right.
And when you look at right now, I mean, they're saying Last of Us Part 2 outsold Last of Us Part 1. Like,
and every other video game on the in the freaking market at the time that week. Like, owned.
Right now, we're disproving that because we're finally giving it an option to be legitimately proven on a more equal footing.
Also, I would argue that Odyssey sold more because of that fantastic character. I would also argue that you don't make Tomb Raider isn't a dude. That's a fantastic series that goes way back. And yeah, in the beginning, you gave her pointy boobs and it was very dude centric. Like, look at her butt while she runs in its horrible PlayStation 1 polygonal way. But still, you know, that was a thing. And that's continued to be a profitable franchise. Like, I don't know. I don't buy it when people say things like, if they have actual data, then show the data. Don't just say it. You know what I mean? Like, if you have data that shows it, well, then let's see it. Oh, does it hold up to scrutiny? Does it actually, is it real? Is it not real? And also, quit making your creative decision. Oh, I know it's a business. See, this is the thing. People are going to write
in
and go.
They can do whatever they want. Like, there's no morals police, except for people shouting, you know, shouting about it, right?
Right.
I'm not saying, I'm saying I agree with you, but, you know, I mean, Hollywood's still doing, like, it's they're still just, you know, you can scream from the mountaintops, make inclusive games, but if they look at their sales figures and they say, well, we can repeat past results better by doing the thing we know, let's do the thing we know, and that's the problem we're in. They get no money for being good, necessarily. At least that's the belief.
Well, that's why I wish
that's what they would say in response, right? It's like, right. Yeah, great. We're going to be the company that makes an inclusive game, and then we're going to miss out on the amount of sales. And then I don't know if this is a company with shares or not, but because it sounds like the one family still retains control of the company, so they can make what they want. Like, yeah. You know, there's no rules. I'm still on your side. Making women protagonists is great. But even the company inside is problematic. There's a culture of it there.
Oh, it's a mess. It sounds like a huge mess. Everybody always thought, oh, Ubisoft, a progressive French firm with the ideas of tomorrow today and, you know, all that. And it's turning out to be less true every day. But here's my big overall take is this. Do what you're going to do as a company and then own it. Fess up to it. Be honest about it. If you have data that says only dudes sell, then make things with only dudes in it and admit to that. Don't dodge the question. Don't make up other excuses. If you're going to do that and you're going to be less forward thinking in that regard, then own that and just be that. That's a thing you can do. That's free market doing what they want to do. Nobody should tell them to or to not to do those things. What I don't like as a consumer of their products is them making excuses or telling me stories or acting like everything's great. And then have it none of that be true. Like it's turmoil in there. It's bad right now.
And sometimes the answer might be uncomfortable, but I appreciate the honesty. I was watching an interview with Neil Druckmann about Last of Us Part 2, and they talked about crunch. And they were like, if you don't want to talk about it, let's not talk about it. And he's like, I don't really want to talk about it much, but then he talked about it. Yep. And he said, yeah, we have a real problem with it in our studio. And it's really hard to walk that line of what's acceptable and what isn't. And basically he admitted it exists. He admitted it's something they fight against, but he also said we're a passionate group and there are people who want to put in extra time and don't want to lose features and will put in that extra time. And it's tough to tell them either too bad you can't do this thing you care about or yeah, you can do it, but we're going to look bad because of crunch. You might hate his answer. You might hate that that's what he's saying and that's the stance he's taking, but at least he told it like it was and said, yeah, it's a problem. We still kind of do it, but
yeah, I would like that. And if you're going to make commitments to change stuff that you think is important for your employees, for your shareholders, for your fans, for whatever it is, then don't just say it or don't just make it up or just say who you are, be who you are. That's all I ask for anybody anymore these days. I don't care if you're a company or an individual. I'm so sick of freaking people saying things in bad faith. And this is Ubisoft just talking in bad faith for years to us as their consumers. We want to like your content. We want to like your games. And you make good games. You wouldn't be a giant game-making company if it wasn't true. But boy, you know, they always say don't ever, pick your heroes carefully or whatever. They should also say pick the video game companies you like the most carefully because going to disappoint you know.
I would give you the advice, don't ever like any company because eventually it's going to come down to dollars and cents. And when they pick that, it's going to go bad.
Yeah.
Which we've seen a lot of in a lot of companies we care very much about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I'd argue 2019, 2020 has been the 2 years where I really learned a lot about what you're saying. Like my devotion and connection to a certain company has been tested hardcore and remains less than it used to be because of it. And it's a real bummer. And that's the thing. It's a good lesson to have. Like from a personal standpoint, don't count on a company having your back. The company has their own back, and they should. They're not people. They're made of people, but they're not your friend. They're not your neighbor. They're not your wife or your husband. And even all those people I just mentioned may screw you eventually. So just pick everybody carefully. And if you like what they put out, like I really, really like, and I'm playing it again right now, I like Ghost Recon Breakpoint a lot, and they patched it and made it awesome. But I'm okay to say, yeah, that game as a production has finally hit its stride and it's a good game. Well done. But I'm no longer going to go, man, thank goodness Ubisoft keeps making these. Thank goodness they're behind it all. Boy, I sure can count on them when I need to. Like this last couple of weeks has been a real eye opener for them, and it bums me out, man.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is at least they're taking some action, and I don't want to make it sound like that gets them off the hook completely, especially because we have found out worse and worse things and that maybe it's been known about and going on longer than we thought, but at least action's being taken. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't a case of us finding out that these individuals remain still protected. They were maybe protected longer than they should have been, but at least in a lot of cases, they're tossing them out, even extremely high ranking people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. It's not something to necessarily turn your nose at, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Maybe it'll all work out in the end, but they need to prove it and then be honest about it before I will take their word for it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, I would be like, oh, well, they're saying this is the way. Then I would naively say, oh, okay, I believe them. Sure, they'll take care of it. They'll fix it or whatever. No, can't do that anymore. It's weird at my age to say this too, because I just feel like I don't know. I feel like a bit of a Pollyanna when it comes to intentions, especially from corporations in a industry that I love, and they're letting me down at a rate right now where I'm like, okay, I got to stop thinking that they're, you know, that they're infallible, or it's also not healthy for me to think they can't do better. Like certainly companies like Riot have vastly improved their internal cultures to be a better place for people to work, a safer place to work, a more inclusive place to work. And so they should probably be applauded for that. But I'm no longer in this boat of like, you know, I just can't put them on a pedestal anymore. It's just dangerous. No, I think
Ubisoft seems to be taking action though.
Yeah. I mean it's slowly
one thing, like I don't know the extent of it and if it's all just, you know, for the press and it's very minimal amount, but it sounds like they removed some top brass within the company that were longtime trusted folk.
Yeah.
So that's indicative that as like, you know, an exemplar in the video game industry of AAA companies that they are cleaning up house right now. And yes, it took humiliation to do it, but that's and shame, but that's generally how any company that has like stuck in its culture finally makes changes is when something shames them, basically. So, you know, it's an important function that Jason Schreier does, as you can see, just to catalyze change. And with that new philosophy, the games of the future from Ubisoft could be much better than they have been previously, actually.
Yeah. Might be a weird short term, though. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
It just depends on like the you know, the creativity behind it, right? It's just going to be who they get and how they move their studio forward with the talent. Because I take it one of the guys that was removed was like lead of creative development.
Yes.
It could like say yes and no to games. So the kinds of stuff that'll be said yes to are probably going to be a lot different than they were with the big regime change like that.
Mm. Yeah, maybe hopefully
that in the positive. Well, for the future.
I don't remember Syndicate being theirs. I thought that was an HP or a HP, a EA thing. No, do I have that wrong, John? I swear.
Assassin's Creed Syndicate? Or
Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Not Syndicate, the game series Syndicate.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I got lazy with my typing.
No. I should have known just from reading it because I'm like, wait, Ubisoft, and I should have connected it. But in my head, I always want a new Syndicate game. Like, I love Syndicate.
There's never been a girl-only Assassin's Creed, right?
No. It would have been, Odyssey would have been it if they'd have run.
There's 13 of them, right?
13, 14, something like that.
I mean, there's never been a Tomb Raider with a dude, I suppose, but.
You know. I think if you go into like PSP games and spinoffs, there might be an offshoot one that has a female.
Oh, so the girl gets the shitty you know, mobile port. That's awesome.
The side scroller, I mean, one from India.
I could be wrong, and I'm certainly not making that statement as a nuh-uh, like I'm agreeing with you, but just because someone out there will probably pull out the fact checker and go, well, technically.
I think there was one, but it wasn't a main, a tentpole game. It was a, you know, indie or, you know, smaller price point deal.
Well, and again, like I am not going to be one of those people that says, give me 50-50 or I'm out. That's not how I work. What I say is, do what you're going to do. I will judge your content on its merits, and I will either like it or I won't. But don't come at me with excuses and then be lying to me. And that's what they've done over the years. And that's why I'm mad. Like, it's to me, it's okay if they said, I think we better have a dude in here. There's a player, part of the player base that just needs a dude to play. And we gotta service that market as much as we're serving this other market. I understand that talk, that discussion, that meeting. I get it. Be straight with us about it. Tell us that you're doing that and own it. Like, I know that that maybe that seems counter and that they're going to lose people because they say it that way. But that's all I want is some freaking honesty.
Well, sounds like they were saying it, though, but then they put a spotlight on it.
No? I don't know if they were saying it, though. That's the problem is, like, when they... Like, they've never talked about this. This was supposed to be her only game, this last game. They never talked about that until now.
Well, I actually think the best option is what they're doing, which is to give a choice.
Right.
But, I mean, I think that's great. But I'm with you. If they knew that Cassandra was the story they wanted to tell and there was a reason for that, I think they should have stuck by it. Yeah. So... ultimately, I think they landed in a good enough place, but it is one of those things where it's frustrating to hear that they kept saying, like, oh, let's do this thing, and it just never happened.
Yeah. And I realize that we're a little bit of a sausage fest on this show, and it would be nice to have the female perspective on that particular issue. But I think I can say from my point of view, outside of gender equality within the games and things like that, just be the company you say you're going to be. And if you're going to be... If you say that you're doing this the right thing, or you give an excuse like, we didn't have time to animate the girl in there, but the real reason is you never really wanted to do it in the first place, like, you're just lying to me. So stop doing that. That's all. That's all I would say. Be well honest. Yakuza, Like a Dragon. There's a trailer for this. So those Yakuza games are kind of hard to get into for me. I try. Real hard.
Well, this might be the one for you, as I saw Bo say something similar today, because it does not play like the other ones. It's an RPG.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. It's unclear. It looks turn-based, maybe. I don't kind of care. I think the thing with Yakuza is I've always been mildly interested, but I'm like, I don't want to play a GTA-style game. And there's so many of them, and they're probably long. It's a lot of time. I'll have to pass, but... this trailer, first of all, is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
For a million reasons. Second of all, George Takei is voice acting the English version. That's a big check for me. I was like, oh,
wait, every character or who? Just like one dude?
I don't know what, but he's involved in the project.
Okay.
Maybe the main character.
All right.
And then also the main characters, it's an RPG. It almost looks like a Final Fantasy, not like remake, but like maybe the Lightning Returns or something. Like, it looks like a Final Fantasy Square Enix style RPG, but it's set in like normal, you know, Tokyo or whatever city in Japan. So they're just wearing like business attire sometimes, but then they have these weird weapons. Like, I think at one point, I'm not sure what that is. If it's a dildo that the girl character swings at a guy in the face and does like a super uppercut. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. I got to play this. I have to play this. The voice acting looks good. The story looks campy as hell.
I think it's
there's a room full of Yakuza just brawling. And so, and I'm just like, okay, I like this.
Yeah.
This
is funny. I think that thing's like a...
What is that?
Okay, I don't know what that is
either.
I don't know.
It's shaped dildo-y. But I don't... I'm not sure if that's what it is. It's glowing a lot. I don't think... the original item it's based on glows like that.
Well, these games don't usually go for like the magic-y stuff, but this game's got like powers and magic.
Well, at one point, the more homeless, like I think there's like a tech nerd guy that looks kind of homeless. Like he's one of the characters in your 4-person party. Uh-huh. And he summons this, like this wave of birds at one point, and there is a clip of a giant crab somewhere, and I'm like, oh man, this game's gonna be stupid. Like, it's gonna be so stupid, so Japanese. I'm in. I want to play this game really bad.
Yeah I kind of do too now that I've seen it. Turn-based, I assume, right?
Like, it seems like it's turn-based, but I don't know if they're going to do like a remake thing where it's more action-y, but still call it an RPG. I don't know. It looks turn-based, though.
I'd be okay with turn-based. That seems like it'd be fun. I like those games from an on-paper standpoint, but whenever I play them.
And even in the trailer, too, I'm watching it now, they riff on Final Fantasy. At one point, that main character with all the hair, he's looking up at a giant corporate tower, and there's green lightning in the sky smashing it. The same thing they do with Final Fantasy VII Remake when Cloud is looking at the Shinra building. Mm-hmm. They literally do that in the trailer. It's such a nice touch.
Nice. Well, all right. This seems like...
Are you going to play this, John?
I might. I really, from afar, I really like the Yakuza games. I'm in the same boat where playing them tends to be my actual hurdle, but they're realistic until you dive into them and you just get into such wackiness. I mean, I saw cutscenes from, I don't remember if it was the last one or the one before it, but I saw a lot of cutscenes from one of them, and there was like, they were riffing on Michael Jackson and Steven Spielberg being in the game, trying to film a movie, and like, it took place in the 80s, so there was a guy who's like, I have a cell phone, and he's wearing a backpack with a giant antenna coming off of it, and like... There was some stuff in that game that I saw that I was just like, wow, this game looks amazing. Yeah. And I never actually played it. So
the problem is, I don't know what the entry point is anymore, because they've got Yakuza Zero, which is like a remake of the original game, I guess. And then there's others.
Zero, I think, is its original game, but it's a prequel to everything.
Oh,
is my understanding of Zero.
OK, that's why I'm confused.
So it's an original game, but it takes place before everything else that happens. And then they did a remake of one, and I think a remake of two, which came out after Zero.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
I don't know. They also do weird, like, here's a Halloween one where everybody's zombies and their spirits and stuff. Like, that game is not afraid to be wacky and over the top and ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was watching a live stream once of someone play one of the Yakuzas, but all he was doing was doing the mini game of, like, you know, race car tracks with the triggers.
Yeah.
There's a mini game where you race on race car tracks against these guys who are like, and it's like, it's super like Japanese, but it's like race car, and you're like just pushing one button really hard.
That sounds kind of great. That sounds great. I mean, I love wacky over the top stuff. Yeah. More, it's not even like, some people say, Scott, this sounds very anime. No, it's not the same. There's like, this is a different kind of like, it's like GTA meets
Final Fantasy.
Kind of, yeah. Like
Shenmue, if Shenmue was actually entertaining.
Yeah.
And fun.
And good. Yeah, no offense to everyone who loves Shenmue.
Fired.
I wish I liked Shenmue. I just could never do that game.
I liked it back in the day, and then I tried it again as an older person and went, what is this?
Didn't do it for me. All the excitement over 3 just did nothing for me. That's out. No one talks about it. No one talks about Shenmue 3. It was supposed to be the big end-all be-all. That was the other thing. Is today I was just looking at some old Kickstarters that like took the world by storm and then kind of thudded out of the gate. That's one of them. Unless someone's going to hear this and go, whatever, that's my favorite game. Okay, it's fine. But that's one of them in my mind. The Ouya. I was looking at Ouya stuff today. What a hot rock that thing turned out to be. Like, so dumb, dude. So bad. It didn't do anything. The best thing that came out of it was a game that was coming to everything else anyway, eventually. They just paid to have exclusivity to Towerfall, the first Towerfall game for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And that game was great. No argument there. I loved it. Played it on the PlayStation like crazy, but that was the point. It was on my PlayStation. I didn't need an Ouya to play it. Like, what a thing. Anyway, I really like, John, I think Bo and I talked about it a little bit, but what was that? Is it Sleeping Dogs was the one set in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
If there's a little of that in here in terms of like, you know, organized crime and all that. So yeah, I'd probably play this. When's this due out? Do we know?
This year,
November. I think it's November.
Yeah. Dude, November's getting busy.
Yeah. No kidding. I'm like, I'm going to be playing Cyberpunk and Yakuza now. Great. What am I going to do? Like, November's going to kill me now.
Yeah, this will be out. Oh, yeah, there it is. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and there is a PS5 version coming as well.
I might make it. Oh, well, I won't have a PS5.
Oh, it says. Oh, this is interesting. Hmm. They've confirmed for PS5, but it won't be a launch title. It will be a Xbox Series X launch title. So that's interesting.
I'll buy it on PC then.
Yeah, I probably just get the PC version. Interesting. Yeah. Seems like the kind of thing I'd want to play on PC, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, it looks like a good couch game. If it's the controller, like, it'd be kind of fun to actually sit down and play that one. So I might. We'll see.
How do you guys feel about this No Man's Sky horror update? Space horror, space fright.
I don't know what's in it, but I did recently download No Man's Sky because I thought maybe I'd play it, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
I will try this, but I'm a little nervous because I don't like scary games.
Yeah.
Scary
games. I mean, that game is pretty effective. I always wondered why they didn't lean into the horror aspects, because there is an unnerving quality to No Man's Sky, which never really reaches. I mean, there's occasionally some weird things. They've gotten better. I don't know if you guys ever saw, like, the Cthulhu-esque eyes in the water
since the
previous update.
Yeah, those are weird.
Yeah.
Like, those are pretty creepy, and the things that, like, jump out of the ground are pretty creepy, but, yeah, they're going into, like, derelict freighters that you have to make your way through that have, you know, creatures running around and evil AIs setting turrets and things on you. They did a lot of work with the lighting to try and get things a little more atmospheric, things like that. They've made some changes to the shooting. I haven't played it yet, but, I mean, I think it's a cool addition. I mean, if you're going to sit down and you're going to say, like, what are we going to work on next? Let's make combat more entertaining. Adding the horror element to the game is kind of a neat idea.
Yeah. I mean, I just love that they keep updating it and with big, meaningful chunks of content.
I think I'm going to get in and play a bit soon.
Yeah. I have to hop in there and see. Another free update.
I haven't seen the trailer, though. I'm going to watch it right now live on the show.
Perfect. Perfect time for that.
Bo reacts to No Man's Sky.
Check out his hot new YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Okay.
You know, I make fun of React videos, but I actually watch them a lot.
Like what kind? Tell me, what do you look for in a reaction video?
I just like...
Do you like trailer reactions, that kind of thing, or what?
Not really trailer reactions. Those always feel a little fake to me, but like people who play through like games or people who are going to see things for the first time. I don't know. If they're in a field or field adjacent and they have something to offer informative about what's going on, I like those.
Yeah. What if it's what if somebody's like, all they do is taste Oreos for you? What do you think of that?
No, I don't need that.
I don't like that. It's not really your jam.
No.
Okay.
No. Unless there's some sort of Oreo cookie expert, even then.
Analytic reaction videos are good. Like if it's just someone with a thoughtful reaction that's part of the conversation, those are good.
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, like there's a guy. I guess you can search for him and consider this something of a plug. But it's called Filmmaker Reacts, and he's been doing a lot of video game trailers. So he's a guy. I don't think he's done a ton major movie wise, but he makes his own movies and stuff like that. And he's been doing a lot of the Blizzard cinematics and reacting to them. And I kind of watch those just because when he watches these things, he's like a little kid, and that's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun watching people experience things that you enjoyed, and you get that like fresh eyed wonder that we're all too jaded to feel anymore.
Right.
Like somebody sees the Lich King cinematic for the first time. We see it and we're like, yeah, this was cool. But you see someone who's never seen it before and it's just like, what is this?
Yeah.
Did this come before Game of Thrones? You know, like that sort of thing. You're like, yeah, it did.
I want to see this. I'll have to look it up. The idea of a filmmaker reacting to the filmmaking techniques of those cinematics is like interesting to me. That's like an interesting discussion. What I don't like are ones where it's just watch somebody be freaked out by something or grossed out by something. Like all the reaction videos to, what was it, two girls and four cups, or what was the deal? What was the thing?
Oh, yeah, no, not that stuff.
Yeah, I don't want that stuff. I don't want that stuff in my life. Just because I don't even know.
Although the one good part about that is when they show old people VR porn. That's good. Google that.
Wait, is that real? Is that the thing?
Oh, yeah.
Kids React and Old People React are pretty good channels.
Wait, is that a thing you're talking about, VR porn or old people watching VR porn?
No, there really is. No, there really is just like a series of channels called Old People React.
Oh, here's one.
But to the VR, but to like their first time, like getting.
I don't know about VR porn. I never saw that one.
Just some old dude, and they show him a video of some young buck, like. On top of them, banging them or something like that. They're like, oh my God.
Well, this one, okay, so I found one called Complex is the channel. Anyway,
yeah,
VR porn reactions on Oculus from old people. So it's just them in the room.
That's not right.
Let me play a tiny bit of this and see what we get. I don't want to get in trouble for it.
I'm 64 years old.
67.
I'm 79.
69. Nice.
Yeah, nice, right? Nice. Nice, you're 69.
Really? Really? You want to go there?
We'd all get together in one of the dorm rooms.
And it was all like a 16-millimeter real film.
Okay, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm going to get the headsets
on. They're reminiscing about their old orgies? Is it wrong video, Scott?
It might have been. Okay, now they have headsets on. Here we go.
Here, is that right?
Okay, there's a honey there. She's got her back to me. Well, they're young and professional.
Dude, I told you I don't bat for this team. So now.
All right. There's some fun in that. They're just sitting there with headsets. Yeah.
Case in point, we just reacted to a React video. So.
Right.
You know.
Also, it says.
Reactception.
These also aren't Oculus headsets. The video's lying.
Yeah, maybe find a different one. Like, there's some good ones out there when they're all shocked. Right. Like, you have to get somebody who's like, wasn't a hippie. Somebody who's like. Pretty pinned in.
Yeah, and they exist. They're out there. I should get my.
And if they're new, it's not as shocking now. Old people get it. Like, you need like a video that's old, as old as possible.
I'll tell you, here's a guilty pleasure as far as YouTube goes.
Go.
And something that I watch and I'm like weirdly obsessed with. Both me and my girlfriend watch these videos.
Okay.
Lot. There's a channel that is called Irish People Try, and it's Irish people trying various things.
Okay. All right.
What the hell is this?
It came up immediately.
Put it on what now?
And it's really good.
Get him, daddy.
What is
get
it? Irish people try?
Yeah, I found it.
I don't know, Billy. I don't think I can do that.
Let's see.
Here's a couple of some Kenyan
drunker. I'm so hungover. That's I'm so hungover.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
So wait, just Irish people trying stuff?
Is it the Try channel? Is it the Try channel?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Sweet, free plug to you guys. There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
YouTube, man. I don't know.
It's good. It's good. There are weird things we find on the internet. I mean, wound up in my recommended at some point. I watched it. It was amazing.
I still love fail videos. I'll watch Fail Army all night. So I get running into something where you're like, oh, this is my jam, and then watching it.
Is there one thing they've tried that stands out to you as really good? Because a lot of this is like alcohols, and I'm like, okay, it's, you know, we're.
I don't want to watch Irish people. I mean,
the alcohols are pretty good. I think the reason I liked the alcohols is there's this one lady on there. I can't remember what her name is, but she's not fazed by anything. You see all these dudes, all these Irish dudes just going, oh, God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And she's like, that is a little unpleasant.
What about
like, man, what a champ.
Yeah.
Irish people try the death nut challenge.
What's there's one challenge? Bo, you would like. It's Irish people trying Canadian candy. That's on there somewhere.
Wait, what are death nuts? Oh, the world's hottest peanuts. Okay. So the death nut challenge.
That's food again. Don't they try to do things like backflip and stuff? Why are they always eating food?
Mostly it's food and drinks.
I'm a little disappointed that they're.
Oh my gosh, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of death nut reactions. Yeah,
the Irish people try a lot of things. We're a hardy people.
But even like the death nut, if you just do death nut challenge and search for that, the video results go for miles.
Oh, death nuts! Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what a death nut is, but these guys are eating them.
A really hot nut.
Super hot peanut. I wouldn't know which one of these to even click. I don't even know who to look at.
Well, I appreciate don't you remember the work ethic.
The one chip challenge, like that was a whole big thing.
That was a thing. And then what was the one where you had to do a review of a video game after eating the hottest pepper in the world? What was that called? Hot.
I don't remember, but yeah, there was somebody who was doing that.
It was game. Oh, what was that called? But you had to eat a hot pepper and then you had to review whatever game you just played. So if you just played I don't know, Hitman 2, you would eat this ghost pepper and then you'd go, okay, Hitman 2. We find Agent 47 again. It's like that. And you do a whole review.
Yeah. Was that on Up, Up, Down, Down? Was that Xavier Woods' channel that did that?
I don't remember.
Twitch streamers did a lot of the ghost pepper thing for like donation goals or like if they lose a game or something.
Yeah. Like
I think Crip was doing it when he lost a hardcore character. He'd have to have a punishment or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But one of them was eating a ghost pepper.
Who am I thinking of? I saw somebody do something like that on Twitch as well. I guess that is a thing. We could have one of those on our channel here. We could say, all right,
somebody send us the one chip challenge.
If Bo mentions a brand that John and I have never heard of, John and I have to, what, John, what's our punishment? What do we do? So Bo goes, oh yeah, you never had one of these Canadian Dingledorfs? And we go, Dingledorfs? Never had a Dingledorf. All right, now Scott and John have to what? What do we have to do? What's
wear
our punishment?
A diaper for a day.
Well, I don't want. Okay, never mind. This is a terrible idea. I don't want this.
Yeah, don't get.
Well, the idea is to find something painful,
yeah,
or humiliating, but not too painful or humiliating that, you know, it's just in that sweet spot.
I mean, right now it's a little hard because none of us are going anywhere.
I don't want to make you guys do any of that stuff. I think it's stupid.
It is pretty stupid, but it gets views. Look at this. This Irish one with the death nut, 2,440,000 views. That's a lot of views on the channel.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said that like an Irish person.
We're putting Ireland on the map, boys. Keep it up.
13 million Scoville units. Don't you know?
This is why I think you would like that channel, Scott. You would be there just for the accents. You wouldn't even care what they were trying. You'd just want to listen to the voices.
That's
if this channel becomes popular enough, we'll be able to leave England for good.
When I said put your spicy nuts in my mouth, this isn't what I meant. Is it like that the whole time? No? All right.
No.
I'm going to play a little here. Hold on. Let's see if you didn't know.
Who among us hasn't taken a square of Tabasco?
Okay. What? All right.
Yeah, it does. Like, what? Here you just all of a sudden, like, hallucinate me, and I thought...
Fine, it's grand. We live.
Will we?
It doesn't hurt.
I don't see an end to this, James.
All right. I'll take John's word for it. I'll check him out later and see what I can find there. All right, moving on. Final Fantasy VII R Part 2 in full development. You guys are going to finish your game that you only started. You just started.
I know. I'm excited about it.
I don't know if they're going to finish it. It's just part two.
Well, that's true.
They're going to at least get to part two, as it turns out.
Doesn't this get you out of, what's the city called?
Midgar. Yeah, Midgar. But it's a big world, and based on that they did a whole game for Midgar, I wouldn't shock me to find that there's a Final Fantasy VII chapter that's just the gold saucer.
For those who don't know, like me, what the hell is the gold saucer? I don't know what that is.
Gold saucer is like this paradise. Actually, I think one of the characters in the remake references it as she performed theater there. Yeah. But the gold saucer is like this casino wonderland. It's this like marvelous, beautiful place. It's opulent, but like the product of, you know, taking all the Mako and enriching the lives of humanity for all these modern day wonders, right?
Yeah.
So Gold Saucer is like the most obnoxious place where you can gamble, go on rides. Like it's Disney World and Las Vegas, you know, flipped on each other. It's you don't remember Gold Saucer?
I don't.
There was Chocobo racing there. And I know there's a roller coaster and some of the romance story between, you know, Cloud and this characters happens. I imagine in this new version you'll be dressing as a woman again.
You're gonna pick Gold up Saucer. All the annoying characters of Final Fantasy VII.
Well, all right, if somebody said to me, hey Scott, describe Final Fantasy VII, here's how I would do it.
Okay.
Steampunk town, ladies talking to a steam grate in the street for some reason. Her camera's whipping around her a little bit.
Okay. Yep.
She's down there and she finds a flower or some kind of rock in there or something. So she's
describing the intro. Okay. So far we're not past the opening cuts.
We're gonna be here a long time.
I thought we were gonna paint with broad strokes, but we're still just describing
Let me broaden those strokes. So the lady's got a rock or something like that, and she's like, oh, look at this rock, and then a train's coming and on top of it, Cloud, who has the giant sword, he's running on there. And him and his friend, Jeebus, what's his name?
Barrett.
Barrett. He's his big friend, and they're on an adventure together in the steampunk town, and that's a place where you fight stuff, and that's all I can tell you. I don't know nothing else about that game.
Really? You should pick up Remake at some point and get into it. I'm sure you'll hate it.
Scott. All right.
It's good.
It's really good, but I don't know if you'll really like it or not.
I think Scott will like it. He'll like it.
All right. Yep. I'll tell you what. When I bought and tried to play the game back in 97, I thought I would like it. And I did up until a point. And that point was random battles. And then I went, nope, I hate these. I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, and this doesn't have those.
Okay. Good deal.
However, have an extremely thirsty Jesse who you may not be able to put up with.
Thirsty. Yeah, I mean,
the characters you'll all find them problematic because they're it's melodramatic. Everything is melodramatic, and you know,
I don't think emotional. He'll mind the melodramatic. I think it's just going to be the girl that's constantly like, "You want to come back to my place?" Like, and I think that's going to be the one that gets it.
No, I think she'll be interesting because when you go back to her place, she's a complicated character in that she's flirting with Cloud constantly, but she's not really. She has this like depth to her that's a facade, you know.
Yeah.
She's the red glove girl. Okay.
Yeah.
What's her catchphrase that she's always saying that she says when you do go over to her place and she sends you away?
It says you got what I need. Oh, JK.
I don't know what she's got.
Something where she's just like, it's the equivalent of just being like, just kidding or just messing with you. But
She does have a line that I can't think of. You're right. But
and is the guy with a really pointy hair part Sephiroth? What is it?
Yes. The gray long hair, Sephiroth. Yeah.
He bad guy? Is that his deal?
Oh, yeah. He's the main antagonist, and his sword is like longer than his body. It's amazing.
Okay.
He's cool.
Seems impractical.
But like, you know, the villains are going to be weird. My favorite villain is Rufus. Yeah. I forgot about that guy from the original because he's like the son of the head of Shinra. He has his own ideas about what to do with the company, but they made him like extra fabulous in this game.
Uh-huh.
He's got this trench coat dress that is weird. Like it's weirdly very male looking, but very also effeminate. It's just, you take it in and you're like, whoa, this is a crazy design. He's got a gun blade like the Final Fantasy VIII guys do.
Uh-huh.
He's awesome. Yeah. And I think you should. I want you to play that game, but I want you to like it, and I can't ask you to emotionally feel something. It's like, I don't want you to play it if you're not going to like it, because don't waste your time.
Well, somebody send me a disc, and I'll try it, and I'll just borrow it and play it, and if I like it, you'll know right away.
It'll go on sale, right?
Probably.
Is it on PC yet? Or we're waiting a year.
Oh, yeah, we're waiting for PC. Yeah, I don't want to wait
anymore.
That's
what's happening.
That's what I think I was going to do.
Just get it on PS4. You'll have a nice time on your PS4. It's been a long time. Bid it a fond farewell, Scott, unless you play Last of Us Part 2, then...
Well, I was thinking about getting that Visions of Sushio. What's his name?
Sorry.
What's his name? I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Ghost of Tsushima?
Ghost of Tsushima, thank you.
Visions of Sushio is a way better name than Ghost of Tsushima. Visions of Sushi. I can't tell if it's racist or
it's
not.
It's not racist. I just couldn't remember the gosh dang name. But I always forget that. I just can't get the guys that thing's name right. But I was thinking about getting that, making that my last hurrah on there. I was thinking.
No, you've got at least 3 games you need to still play on your PS4.
No, I'm getting
also,
Last of Us.
There's a big sale right now, Scott.
I know, but I'm getting Last of Us 2 on. I'm getting that on a PS5. That's happening.
You don't even know that it's coming out on
PS5. John, I will bet you, not just my left nut, both my nuts, there will be a version on the PS5.
Oh,
I guarantee it's coming. I guarantee it.
He
guarantee
wants
it.
To prove how much he believes it. And for the record, he's right. It's going to totally.
Of course they are.
Play it on PS4. It looks great. Play Final Fantasy VII and Ghosts of Tsushima. Play them all.
But John,
can we call this episode Visions of Sushio, please?
But you realize everything you just mentioned is a $60 each experience. Like, I don't want to just buy those.
They're on sale right now. Some of them might be on sale.
All right. I doubt it.
Yeah, wait for sales. Just check for sales.
How about this? If Final Fantasy's on sale, you should get it on PS4. If it's not...
Visions of Samoshi just came out, or whatever we're calling it now. That just hit like a week ago.
That's probably not on sale. You're probably right.
I want to try it. People keep being tempted.
Final Fantasy, it should go on sale on the PlayStation soon, too. I'd be willing to bet.
All right.
As part of Christmas or something.
Maybe I'll do that.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm even tempted to replay it.
50% off on things.
I almost got.
You can get Spider-Man for $20 right now.
I have Spider-Man. I was tempted to play that again.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order for $30.
Oh, I don't have that. But I can get that for cheaper on PC. I may as well just get it there. I don't know. I want Visions of Sushio. That's what I want, I think. I don't know. We'll see how things go. All right. What else? Ghosts of Tsushima, which is literally written right here. I could have read it before.
It's the next note down.
It outsold Paper Mario out of the gate, but both sold and reviewed quite well. I got Paper Mario. I'll talk about it when we talk about the games we played. I have a lot to say about that thing. Actually, it was kind of a choice. It was that or Ghosts. I was going to decide which one to get, and I ended up getting Mario. And I'll tell you why here in a minute.
But I'm anxious to hear about Paper Mario because I've been tempted. That game looks whimsical and fun.
It is. And it's funny, like genuinely funny in a way.
I don't know why it made me laugh, but yeah. I was watching some gameplay footage.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of monsters from Mario sitting around a table. And there's just a piece of like an open, canned food can in the middle of the table in front of them.
Yeah.
And one of them, when you talk to him, he just goes, "Food out of a can is the best." And that's all he says. And it just made me laugh.
There's a lot of that. There's a considerable amount of time. Yeah. There is a lot of that kind of humor and it really works for me. It's a delightful little game. And I'll tell you about it now as we move over into this part of the show. Super Paper Mario the Origami King is the full title. I played it. I'm not done. That game is very, very cool. From beginning to end, delightful story, amazing graphical treatment. Everything's made of paper. The ridiculous Origami King and what he's doing to the denizens of the Mushroom Kingdom is kind of hilarious. He's all emo and has like hair over his face. But he's origami. He's made out of origami. So it's just like a piece of paper over his face. And he's just kind of a dick. And the regular villains in the Mario Kingdom or in the Mushroom Kingdom are kind of in the same boat you are. So Mario like runs into Bowser and Bowser's like a folded up piece of cardboard and he's pissed. He's like, "Damn it, Mario, fix this for you." He's as mad as you are about what's going on. Princess Peach has been turned into a thing. These aren't spoilers. You find them out right away. But she's been turned into an origami version of her. And the great folding of society is happening. And you're trying to stop it from happening. And there's great mechanics. Great little story points. Good stuff. It is not an RPG. Not in the traditional sense. It has some elements. But it's not like Thousand Year Door or whatever. But this is a giant step ahead of what that sticker star, or whatever it was on 3DS. That game was kind of a bummer. It was okay, but it wasn't, there was really nothing special about that game. This is a way better game, but it's really more of an adventure, type game and not really an RPG. The only complaint I have about it, sadly, it's kind of a big one, and you probably heard people talk about it before, the combat wears really thin really quick. And that can be true of a lot of like turn-based RPG style stuff. But in particular, this one has decided to do the old school Super Mario or Super Paper Mario / Mario and Luigi style. Bonk them on the head. Take your turn. If you hit it right, you get more damage. Get a cool pair of boots because you found them somewhere. Now you do extra damage. Blah, blah, blah. That stuff's in there. The hammer's in there. And it's all turn-based. But when you go into a battle, you go to fight like a paper Goomba, and then a big arena opens up, and in the arena, you're now arranged in these big circular things, and it's like a puzzle. And all of the characters are in weird random places, and you have so much time, like 10 seconds and two moves to like move these wheels that hold the characters on it and get them in a certain pattern so that you can get the most damage possible, hit the most guys at once, get a whole line of them, whatever. You get bonus to damage if you can set those up. And if you set those up, great. And then things go well. If you don't, it kind of sucks because you take a lot of damage. Anyway, that's fun 2-3 times. After that, it's like, ugh. I find myself kind of avoiding combat when I can because that's tedious. It's a pretty tedious combat system. Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world, and there's certainly way worse examples of combat, but I think it's a bit of a bummer. I wish it was just straight up, just like turn-based, let me jump on their heads 3 times and get out of here kind of thing. But they decided to make it a little more complicated. I know some people who really like it. They love it. So this is just me. Take my, grain of salt, whatever. It has not, though, it has not diminished how much fun I'm actually having with the overall experience. I really like the story a lot. I like the graphics a lot. I like the humor. It's very funny. Like legit funny. I have laughed out loud at this stupid game, and it's not just because it's dumb humor. It's like really well-timed humor, and they really pull out some like great fourth wall, like Mario tropes and have fun with them. I think it's cool. I think it's very cool. So right now it's a recommend. I'm not far enough to say, 100% for sure if the whole thing was worth the $60 or not, but so far I'm enjoying it, and I wish that combat, and I guess the combat does get more interesting later because you do a lot of different stuff later on, but right now that combat is just like, okay, this is like the worst part of the game, but thankfully it's not the most, that's not what you spend most of your time doing. Like combat is a thing you do, but not all that often. So
yeah.
Anyway, outside of that, very cool game. If that combat was up to snuff though, I would be raving about this game because the rest of it really is good. So
I mean, it's just got such a cool look with the, I mean, they lean into the paper aesthetic and like even just little ripples. I'm watching a little footage of it right now.
Yeah.
And like even just little ripples in the paper, like if something turns, it doesn't just turn flat. There's like a little wave to it. And
yep.
I don't know. They do some really cool things. I'm just watching this because I want to see the line again about the freaking canned food.
Well, like if you buy a
box. Oh, it's just everybody loves canned food. It's just a big can of food, right?
When they, you know how like in real life, like on a box of donuts, you might have a pull tab of paper that you pull off. It's always really satisfying. There's a lot of things to open that have like that on it. And you have this ability to like grab onto that thing and just go pull it off just like you would off an actual paper box or something. It has a real tactile feel about all the paper stuff, and I don't know, it just really works. It's also just got some nice touches. Like I was in a dungeon like place and the lighting in there is casting shadows of my little sticker Mario guy on all the walls, and it's just like a cool treatment on all that stuff. So I like it a lot. I'm pretty sure there are going to be some people that just cannot get past this combat. But once you accept the game for what it is and you realize, well, it's not really an RPG and you don't need to fight at every turn to progress, then you'll go, oh, okay, it's more like I'm playing through an adventure and there's some cool world puzzles I need to follow or figure out and ways to unlock the next areas and stuff. I just think it's very creative. I like it a lot. I also did another experiment. You guys will love this one. I went and I don't know why I did this. Last week we talked about 40K games again, and we talked about playing
Space Marine.
Right?
God, I'm a Space Marine.
2008, 2009, whatever it was, Space Marine for the 360, PS3, and PC. And I already owned this, and people were talking about it again because it was part of the Humble Bundle. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to fire that up. So I did. I also noticed John fired it up. I saw him log in.
I tried. I couldn't get it to launch. It kept crashing.
Oh, weird. That is weird.
Yeah. Probably your ultra wide, maybe.
Oh, could maybe. Be. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
It didn't like something about it. It would never launch for me.
16.9 was no problem for me, but anyway, that game holds up. It's a good. That's a fun game. Like it's legit good, and really leans into the aesthetic I love about 40K in that universe, and doesn't look too bad considering it's 12 years old or whatever. Anyway, that got me on a path, and that path was a lot like my. You guys remember my 4X thing I did where I'd installed every 4X game and played them all? I kind of did this with 40K games. I went and found all the Warhammer 40K games that I own or have and installed everything and just went, all right, how's this doing? What have they done to this? Oh, this has been updated. Let's try this out. It's everything from that space RTS one to freaking one of the
how's the second Space Hulk?
I think I have it pretty good. If it's the one I'm thinking of,
there was a first one, and then they did a re-release, and it was just interesting.
Let me run Steam real quick, and I'll tell you, because I think that's the one I installed, and I think it's pretty rad if it's the one I'm thinking.
I think it's Space Hulk Tactics is the update, like not the original one,
right?
Space Hulk Tactics. It says mixed reviews. Oh,
yeah, I know that's always a little dangerous. Hold on, Space Hulk. Here we go. Space Hulk Tactics. That is one of the ones I installed.
How was that one?
That one I liked. I like it. It's hard, though. It's basically the board game. And they don't shy away from difficulty on that one. And that maybe is the complaint. In fact, some of these reviews are calling that out, saying this thing is just way too freaking hard. So it's really hard. I died a lot, but I think it looks really cool. And it has the vibe of like, oh my gosh, I'm a giant space mech and, or, you know, spacesuit guy in the middle of a hallway and terrible things are happening. And there's this great first person view you can get into when you're fighting. And it's pretty cool. The other one is Space Hulk Deathwing, which is more of a, I don't even know how to describe that one. That one's like Left 4 Dead kind of.
Yeah, I've seen that one. That's the first person shooter one, right?
Yeah, I kind of like that too. I like all of them, whatever. They're all good. I installed, let's see, what else? I don't have the right, my PCs, I don't have the monitor turned on over there, so I can't tell you all the names, but I installed them all. Strategy games, Mechanicus again, Gladius is another strategy game, just like everything I had so I could just get my face full of 40K. Just couldn't get enough. And I walked away fully satisfied for a while. I think I'm good. I don't need to play any 40K games for a while. But I am going to try to. I'm actually going to try to finish this run of Space Marine because I really like it. It's great.
Yeah, Space Marine is really good. Yeah. I wonder.
Wish they'd have done a sequel. It really bums me out. Oh, the one that really disappointed me, though, and I was so bummed about this because Dawn of War 2, I loved. Okay. It was like their strategy game, but they got to. It was more like squads and.
Yeah, I played through some of it. I just didn't get very far. Oh,
I loved that game. But I didn't like the first game. The first Dawn of War game was too much like StarCraft. And I just didn't... I don't want to micromanage a bunch of stuff. But I like the second one's focus on squads. It was a little more like their World War II game. I can't remember. Company of Heroes. That's it. Same people Relic did that. So I thought, well, okay, I like that better. And then 3, which is only a couple years old now, went back to the old RTS thing with a little bit of hero stuff thrown in that's a little MOBA-like. And I didn't like it. It bummed me out. I didn't like it. So sorry. It looks great. Sounds great. There's some cool stuff in there, but I don't want to play an RTS the way RTSs are right now. The way RTSs used to be. I want to play something different, and this was not different enough. So that bummed me out.
Have you checked out that disintegration thing? I think it's out in early access.
Yeah, I actually got a code for it, but I've not installed it yet, but I keep hearing it's cool.
I'm really interested in that because it looks weird and bizarre, like who'd play this, but at the same time, it also looks like it's really fun, too.
Let's see. Disintegration. This is the one from the ex-Halo people, right?
Yeah, where it's like you play as a character, but it's in the map, but it's a strategy game where you have to control live on the battlefield your units.
Right, like an actual...
And it's in third person, and there was a develop... I can't remember who they said it was, but there's a big name attached to it, even though it's kind of an indie game.
Well, it's V1 Interactive, and I think these guys are... If I have it right in my head, they're ex... Yeah, they're ex-Halo. That's what it is. They all worked on Halo. Or the Halo game. So they used to be Bungie people.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have done like strategy stuff before with the Halo Wars and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I think it looks cool, but I think it's hard for people to react to it because it's something new, you know, like so far the reviews are mixed. I guess you can already buy it.
Oh yeah.
Is it just out?
Early access right now, I think. Okay. Oh no, I'm sorry. It's just out.
No, it's just out.
Oh, well, I have a code for this somewhere. I should install it somewhere. Anyway, yeah, it seems interesting. No one's ever really nailed that, right? Get down in the thick of the battle, but also pull the camera up and be a good RTS. Like, nobody's quite mastered that, so it'd be nice to see.
Yeah, lots of people try it. Yeah. Very few execute it well.
Yeah.
They say the game over, like, there's a lot of thumbs down, and they're actually not like joke thumbs downs. They're like, oh, this game is just not good. Like, it's
Dunaway's raving funny. About it for some reason. He thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, maybe it is good. I don't know. Sometimes these mixed things are really like they send you
mixed signals.
Weird signals. Yeah, because it looks cool.
Yeah. Mixed reviews.
Well, I think we all have our thing that's not maybe critically well received, but we really like it, you know?
True Dunaway that. Likes this a lot?
Yeah, Dunaway really likes it.
He's like an indie game player. He plunked down $66.99. Is this price really $66.99 Canadian?
Canadian, yeah. $49 here.
I was like, that's a weird price.
Yeah. The price is $66.99 here. I shit you not. I'll send you a screenshot.
It's $49.99 US at the moment.
I mean, that's a lot of money for a game. And if I remember listening to my final score days,
Dunaway
likes the mods and the demos, and he doesn't strike me as a person that's just going to turbo drop money down on just anything.
Guess what he really likes? He likes the free code he got for Disintegration. He loves that part of it. So. That
explains it. I mean,
he totally did.
This free game is great. Nice. You mean you can buy these? Damn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, there's Dunaway. He's in the chat. He got the code.
He's there. I'm talking shit about
him. You know you're not.
Who the hell is this guy?
He knows he's a cheap gamer. He knows. You don't have to tell him. He's good. Yeah.
That he was the person that I would have loved to have met the most when I went to the Nerdtacular, but he wasn't there that year.
Oh, that sucks. We should make that happen in the future, in some weird future.
Nerdtacular,
where people 20, can interact with one another again.
Yeah,
21.
That'd be nice.
You think we'll ever do another one?
I was going to do it this year, and then nature had another plan.
Yeah. So it might take a bit of time. Let's settle the pandemic first. And
if it's 2020, then... Or if it's 2021, great. But I don't know now. Like, if you'd
maybe
ask
we have
me,
to have it up here. Maybe we have the northern edition of Nerdtacular.
Well, you guys the problem is if we don't get our poop figured out, we'll just bring it up to you, right?
I'm kind of just scared to go to the States at this point. So, like, why don't you guys come over to my house?
Yeah, come to our house. It's cleaner. All right. Anyway, the 40K experiment went well. I just get into these weird moods. You might call it obsessive. I don't know, but I love just seeing how all that stuff's doing. Love 40K. Oh, and a brand new, the new edition of the 40K tabletop edition came out. And apparently that's real good. It makes me want to get into that for, I don't know. Who am I kidding? Am I ever going to have the time to sit down and paint a little freaking space marine or a blood angel or any other cool thing? And no, I'm never going to do that. I don't have time. Nobody has time. Who has time?
Wait, I lost the thread of what we were talking
about. Could if you turned it into content, right?
Yeah.
Then it just becomes your work.
Then so there you go.
You call up Chris Metzen.
Yep.
You say, hey, you want to do a show where we just paint Warhammer minis and we film it and talk? And I think he'd be down for it. And I think you would be down for it. And then now you're making content.
Yeah.
And you're doing the thing.
Holy crap, that's a great idea. Painting minis with Metzen.
Yeah.
Or minis with Metzen.
There you go. Minis with Metzen. That'd be great.
Yep. That's like my Tuesdays with Maury or whatever. It'd be minis with Metzen. That's actually a really great idea. And he would probably
pitch it to him. He'd be like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a public person. He'd be like, there's Warhammer minis. He'd be like, okay, I'm in.
Because I do have some, I've had interest for much of my adult life in trying that game. But it just seems daunting, you know. But every video game iteration, I swear I buy them all. I love them all. All right. Mentioned Breakpoint earlier. That is Ghost Recon Breakpoint. They put out a new patch, which they talked about in their forward event, the Ubisoft forward event, where they ignored internal strife and talked about games instead. And the big addition here. So they've been patching it over time. The launch was pretty rough. I got it at launch. I loved Wildlands. Was one of my favorite open world games. I loved it. So I was really excited about this, but it launched in really rough shape. It felt broken and kind of empty and weird. And I don't know, it's just something was off with that game when it launched. But then I remembered that's kind of how Wildlands felt at launch. So give them time. Ubisoft's been pretty good about, you know, getting their games up to speed. If not at launch later on, that sort of thing, you know, For Honor and Siege and all those games have been proof of that. So I thought, well, let's see how this goes. They have been adding stuff. They've been doing events and other things. The game has gotten progressively better. I think it's finally now in the shape I really want it to be in. And I spent a ton of time in it and I had a blast. Part of it is this last patch, they let you put, they let you have AI companions again, like they did in the last game in Wildlands, which means you and four dudes doing all the missions. And they're AI based. and pretty stupid, but they don't need to do much other than help you shoot things and, you know, stay in cover when you need them to and that sort of thing. And they do that. That really helps the game a lot for me, because that is the game to me after playing Wildlands so much. Like, I really wanted those guys. What's nice is, just like all the other recent features they've added, they haven't just wholesale put new stuff in and taken out things. They've said, here are your new AI companions. Have them if you want to. Don't have them if you don't want to. They give you all these options to turn stuff on or off. So you can have the AI companions if you want. You can have color-coded leveled loot. Every time somebody drops a gun, it might be a better gun than the one you had. Or you can turn that off and just have it be guns are just guns, like normal guns they were the way they were in Wildlands. You can have it so there's no HUD, so it's really hard to know where to go next. Or you can have all the helpers that you always usually have in the HUD. Like some of that stuff John was talking about accessibility options in Last of Us 2, they've done a lot of that here, where it's sort of play it your way, figure out what you want to toggle on or off, and create the experience you want to have. I really like that. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So if you don't want AI companions, you don't have to have them. But here's what's cool. And Dunaway, was it Dunaway? No. JK Grammar in our community. I'm going to find this. You guys got to see this. This is freaking great. Okay, I'm going to put this in our Discord, and then I'll also put it up so you guys can see it. JK Grammar made a team because they have this tie-in with Terminator. So they have these Terminator. They had this Terminator mini event in this game. In the last game, it was Predator. So because you can unlock all these different skins and customize yourself to any degree you want, be a lady, be a man, have long hair, short hair, beards, all the stuff, clothes, all the items, it's all 100% customizable. A lot of it's unlockable. If you have the Terminator content and you've done those missions, he went and made his guy look like Kyle Reese. So he's Kyle Reese running around.
I thought he was trying to be William Dafoe.
It's a little William Dafoe looking. And then his AI companions are all Terminators. They're all T-1000s or T-800s rather. They don't look like Arnold necessarily. They kind of do. Some of them do.
That one on the left looks pretty like if Arnold buzzed his head.
Yeah, kind of. And so now you're out doing missions as Kyle Reese with a bunch of Terminators helping you. It's a weird thing, but you can get really creative that way. I have these guys in trench coats with like masks on their faces. You can't even tell who they are. And if you want, you can have four ladies backing you up all the time, and you can be a dumb guy, or you can be a lady too, or you can be whatever you want to be. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. So anyway, I really like where it's at. Yeah.
I just thought of this because we're talking about Terminators and this open world, and I know they've brushed up against elements of this.
Yeah.
I'm saying I want them to double down. And I want them to make this game an open world game that has Terminators, Predators, and aliens.
Boom.
Okay.
Okay.
If you want to put RoboCop in there too, you can do that. But I want it to be an open world game, right?
Yeah.
And if you're out in like the jungles, you might be getting hunted by a predator.
Okay.
When you go to do like the base camp raids, like in Far Cry, like you're going to go in and I'm going to go through them and clear. You might shoot a guy and all of a sudden hear plink and it turns out he's a Terminator. And now you got to fight a Terminator because he was pretending to be a dude in amongst the camp. And now you got a mad Terminator coming out after you. And then, as if that wasn't dangerous enough, there's aliens on this island. I don't know how they factor in, but they're there and they could show up anywhere. And that would be scary as hell.
I mean, they kinda,
I think that would be over the top. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be the greatest video game.
I do feel so
what
like
if they just do planet side, but instead of the same generic dudes on each team, it's those three.
Yeah. Why not?
Just like 100 v 100 v 100 predators, aliens, and RoboCops.
I'm not sure.
Terminators and RoboCops.
I'm not sure this engine would handle that, but yeah, like maybe, I mean, here's the thing. It's like all the tactical shooty stuff that you expect from a Ghost Recon game. It's all there. It's set in the near future. So there's some tech you wouldn't have in the real world. John, to address your problem with drones play a big part in this game, but most of them, with a very couple of few exceptions, are single shot and they're down because you hit them in the blade. Fine. Like you were saying the other day, like a real drone, like a little hovering around, you hit him. He's done. He's just done. There are some big mega drone things that take a few more shots, but not really much anyway. So it's not a problem, I guess is what I'm saying, in the way that you were concerned about the drones. I like it. I think it's cool, and I would really love more co-op with people I know. The problem is everyone I know who plays this is either PlayStation 4 or I don't know them yet. So the game sold really well, so I know there are players out there, but I just don't know who. I don't have anyone to play with. But playing with the AI guys is a huge improvement, and I just really like this game. I like it a lot, so I'm going to keep at it.
I like it a lot.
A lot. And then finally, Shipbreaker's still amazing. I'm playing that game. I love it. It's great. I salvaged the ship yesterday, but then I screwed up and I, oh my gosh, this is so dumb. All right, I'll tell you this one story.
Okay.
Got a ship, brand new one, about to go make some real bank on this thing. And the two main goals, I had to get a bunch of the materials and get those into the incinerator. But the main two goals were to get the two battery packs and then the main core, like the unstable power core of this ship out. Because that's worth a ton of money, and that was part of the work order. And so I'm, you know, taking the ship apart, breaking the joints and separating the nacelles and pushing that one down in the thing and making money and incinerating this other thing and moving the heaters out. Took all the chairs out and got those all sold and everything. And then I get in there to get the unstable core. And I thought I had my weapon selection on the tether gun, which grabs things and lets me pull them out and then take them slowly to where they need to go. I didn't. I had my laser cutter, but the one that's like kind of like Dead Space where it's like long. And I didn't know. I thought I was tethering it and I just wasn't paying attention. And I walked right up to this thing and went, and the music got real intense and the thing started freaking out and I backed way out. And then it had one of those space explosions where everything goes white. And it's like a muffled, like, because you're in space, just goes, and just the whole bay is just incinerated and blown to pieces. And I almost got killed. My suit's leaking. I got air coming out of my face thing. I'm like, gosh, dang it. So I went to sleep and got a new ship and I lost a bunch of money. But it's so good. I love Shipbreaker. Indie game of the year.
I want to play it. It seems great.
It's very cool.
That's an awesome story too. Like that's the reason I want it.
Yeah.
Stuff like
that. You will have things like that happen, like sudden air pressure problems. Like I accidentally shot a hole through with my single laser. I shot a hole through the window of the front of a ship and all of a sudden this like Siri voice comes on and goes, air pressure, no longer nominal. Starts doing all this stuff. I'm like, shit, trying to get out of this thing. And the doors are all locked down and, the whole back end of the ship goes flying off that way. Nobody got killed. I got a little hurt and I lost some junk. I think a computer got smushed, so I couldn't get money for it. But it actually helped because now I got the whole back of the ship I can disassemble by itself and, you know, part it out or whatever. But even when the whole place is just shattered, everything, I can take pieces of the shattered stuff and incinerate it and make money. It's just so good, dude, guys. I just love it. I love
it. You're lucky you live. That's how Ripley killed that alien, you know?
I know. You got to be careful. John, tell me more. Oh, I played Neon Abyss as well, and I think you're right about everything you told me, but you have some new thoughts, so tell me your new thoughts on Neon Abyss.
Yeah, I'm going to take some of the stuff I said back. I played a lot more of this game, and I'm enjoying it a lot more than I was last week.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it has some problems. The thing I'm excited about is it sounds like the developer is pretty aware of it. They're already doing a thing called an experimental branch update that I see on Steam that are fixing a lot of problems that I've had with the game. So some of the things that just have continued to irk me about this game, I just want to get those out of the way so I can talk about the things I really love.
Okay.
Is you go in there and it feels like they want you to feel like, oh, we've got all these great characters you can pick. But then they put so much stuff behind, like, you need a key or you need a grenade, that you feel like if you don't pick the character that starts with one of each of those, you're already doing something wrong. Like, you don't feel like you're getting a good enough trade-off on it. And there are ways to subvert it, and you'll have some runs where because of the upgrades you got, you never needed grenades again. But then you'll have some runs where everything required a key, and you got three keys, and that's all you got. And too bad, so sad. You didn't have an option to unlock it.
Yeah.
And I will say that I've already noticed a slight increase in rooms where by doing some puzzle solving with how you break things in the room, you can subvert the need for grenades. I think that was really clever, and that's a really cool thing that they've done. but I'm still occasionally bumping up against the struggle of inventory management, where you need grenades and you need keys, and sometimes the game just doesn't give them to you. The other thing, the amount of times I waste my grenades because they throw at a really weird arc and there's AoE damage, so you don't want to be too close when you throw it, is substantial. And they don't give you near enough grenades for it to ever feel good to miss with a grenade. Yeah. That just sucks because they're so valuable and you cannot really control. I mean, they go the same arc every single time, but, you know, if you accidentally press a button, it goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are all a little rough. Sounds like there's a patch coming to address some of the other issues. Like, there's some upgrades that just don't feel like upgrades. I think most of the eggs in the game suck. Like, every time my egg hatches and something comes out, I'm like, this thing is way worse. I would have been better off without it. I hate these eggs. And it sounds like this update is there to fix that by making it you have to opt in to picking up eggs that'll hatch stuff that steals your hearts or steals coins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some cool things coming. I think the developer is making really smart choices with that game and they are listening to people. Outside of those complaints, I think this game is super fun and I have been extremely addicted to playing through it.
Mm.
It has so many cool upgrades and ways to just stack new things on top of your character and combine them in weird ways that every run is exciting. Cause it's like you start and you're like, yeah, I got this little pea shooter and I'm just running around going plink, plink, plink. But if you get through a couple stages of it, all of a sudden it's like, well, now I'm a character that takes no explosive damage and I shoot a billion rockets and I can fly anywhere I go. And I'm just a chaotic mess because you wear all this stuff on your body.
Which is a lot like Rogue Legacy, it sounds like, because you kind of have these differences.
And kind of like Binding of Isaac as well, is the other game that's like that, where, you know, you'd find like a coat hanger and then he'd have a coat hanger sticking out of his head. Like that sort of stuff. That's all in this game. And it's really neat. I can't stop playing it. I keep booting it up and just doing a run and seeing how I do and trying new characters. Again, I just wish they would do a little something more on the inventory management for especially early in the game, simply because I feel like there are a couple characters I'm forced to play simply because it feels bad to run through an area and have to leave a bunch of stuff unlocked and unopened or sealed behind rocks because you never got the inventory items you needed.
Maybe they'll does that seem like a thing you could patch? Maybe
there's a little bit of it. So in this patch, they're talking about how the shops in the early stages are going to sell things for 50% off because they know you're not going to have the money for it, which is what I always ran into was there's no point in opening the shop in the first, maybe the first two stages, because you just won't have enough.
Just don't have the cash.
They're getting rid of the vibrant ball, which is great. That egg hatch sucked. It's basically an orb that floats in front of you to block shots, but it blocks your shots too. So if you have a rocket launcher and it floats past you, when you shoot it, you blow yourself up.
Oh, what's the point of that?
You can't control it.
That's stupid.
It's awful. It's a nightmare. I hated it. And so they're doing a lot of things to remove elements like that, or at least make it to where you opt more into those. So
I've got
high hopes for that game, especially if this is what they're already looking into. I think they're going to do some cool things with it, and I think the core gameplay is there and I'm having so much fun with it.
That makes me happy to hear that. I'm going to keep at it then, because I want to like it more, but I got in far enough to go, yeah, I don't like how the guns sound, and John's right about this particular clunky thing or this thing or whatever, and I didn't get much further. To hear that you're getting that much more out of it, that sounds like the kind of game I want. So
yeah, once you start getting about four levels in, you know, you're like, oh, my character can do some badass things. And I do, thanks to you, Scott, you showed me this, so I want to correct something I said last week. It does have controller support.
Oh yeah. It would be weird without it. I was like shocked when you mentioned that, but it just seemed like it'd be crazy if they didn't have that in there. So.
Although there are some guns that require a level of precise aim for them that I feel like they still want you to play with control or with mouse and keyboard. But
oh, really?
I definitely prefer it on the controller. It's better, although it has a really weird controller like control scheme.
Yeah, the jump with the left trigger, right? That some of that takes a little bit of getting used to. You can remap it, and I haven't figured out the best remap yet. But yeah, you're right. It's some weirdness there. Yeah. I kind of wish it was just dual stick. I wish the other stick shot when you aimed it, but then you'd run out of ammo. So I don't know. I don't know. There's a trade off there.
But the default is shoot with the right stick.
I don't mean the stick. Or no, you mean trigger or stick? Because the stick just aims, right? Don't you just fire with the trigger?
The stick shoots if you push it. All you have to do is push right, and you'll shoot to the right.
Oh, I think I'm on a different control scheme. Now I got to go look. All right, I'll check that out later. Tell us about Super Hot Mind Control Delete.
Hey.
Okay.
Did you guys ever play Super Hot?
I did. Did you play Bo?
No.
It's very cool.
This is more Super Hot.
Okay. What's the difference
here? Honestly, we could probably leave it there, but I will get into what it is.
Okay.
So it turns out I have this game for free. If you bought Super Hot within a certain window, they just gave you this game.
Oh, I probably do too.
So that's congratulations. Cool. You own a game probably. And it is more Super Hot. They do some cool stuff with it though. So you basically are going back in, you're going through levels, and you are getting hacks into the game so that you can do more things. Like you can do a charge where you just all of a sudden warp to an enemy and punch them in the face.
Huh.
And then you can get something where every item you throw becomes a grenade. And when you throw it, it hits the ground and sends a bunch of bullets all over the place. Or you can get one that I really like right now, which is ricochet, which is if you shoot a wall, the bullet will ricochet and hit a nearby enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So you just peek around a corner, see someone coming down the hallway, and you just shoot halfway down the hall and they'll get hit by the bullet.
Yeah.
So it's got a bunch of cool upgrades and things like that. And the way the levels are formatted is they give you two hearts, which represent damage you can take. And you have to get through so many rooms without losing both hearts. And along the way, you can choose these hacks from two to kind of help your progression forward. So, you know, you might say, okay, I want guns I pick up to have more ammo, because in Super Hot, notoriously, you only get a couple shots.
Mm-hmm.
So same, you might have more ammo, or you might have a faster reload, or, you know, there's all sorts of them in there. And they do more things. I can't remember if it was in the original game or not, where most of the enemies in that game are all orange, but they throw some at you that are white in sections, and so they can only be damaged in the orange spots. So they have enemy types like that. They also have this new type of enemy that has jagged edges all over them, and when you shoot them and they die, they send bullets all over the place, so you have to dodge that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing a lot of cool, like, little extra things with it, but it's still just new Super Hot. And if you enjoyed that game, you will like this game.
I checked my library, and it is free. I have it. So
yep,
nice. Yeah, if you bought it in a certain, I don't know what the window was, but I own it. That's $15, and well, it's on sale right now. Normally, it'll be $24.99 when it's off its launch sale. That's a pretty good savings of free.
Yeah.
So I'll check that out. It's Super Hot's awesome. So totally. I'm down for more Super Hot. Bo, your adventure in Divinity 2 continues. How did it go?
I didn't play that much.
Yeah.
I just put it on there because really I didn't really play much at all of anything.
Yeah.
And I'm on my undead. It's Fane and my undead person. And we murdered everyone in Fort Joy for the most part.
Oh.
Just because death isn't really something to be fearful, so we relieve the living of their fear by killing them. That way they realize, oh, it's just fine being dead. So that's kind of the playthrough I'm doing, because with our group playthrough, we don't have enough time. So I'm doing a lone wolf heart tactician mode run with just undead. And the undead, you know, we don't care about mortals. You know, they're all crying about how they're going to die and stuff. Whatever, just relieve them of that burden. So I've been doing that kind of a playthrough. Nice. It's fun.
Yeah. It's great. Leave no one.
I gave you a judgmental look, but on my playthrough, I did basically destroy the world on accident. So
clear them out.
I understand.
Clear them out.
Happens sometimes.
Not a problem.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I don't kill everyone. No. Certainly, I did try to kill a kid, and the game doesn't let you do that. The kids will run away and just be gone forever. So that's good.
Yeah.
But I was committed to my whole I'm an undead being, and we're just relieving the world of its burden, and then I'll become a god. That's the whole point of the game. It's interesting playing undead only because there's a lot of things in that game that you don't discover if you're a living thing, which is also its own pleasure. It's like playing a brand new game when you're undead. Like skulls will talk to you and tell you to open chests. And
yep. I played an undead when I played. It's great.
Yep. So there's an aspect and layer to the game that's like just really cool.
Well,
but I've given up on killing everybody because it's actually tedious because they don't put up much of a fight.
Yeah.
So I killed everyone in Fort Joy, but as I got out, I stopped doing it. Gareth and company are still alive. And
okay.
It's just more boring than anything else. But is you know, if little, I need something, I will kill them.
Is that gopher riding on the skeleton cat still around? What's his deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Laura.
Yeah.
Yeah,
does something happen with him at some point? Is there a reason to have him?
Well,
exist?
We killed him at our group playthrough by accident,
yeah.
And I think he hit death fog or something ridiculous.
Oh.
And his ghost hangs around, so he's still there, annoying the shit out of us.
Oh,
as a ghost, really he's this green thing. He's like,
yeah, he's the worst. All right, well, we'll check back into that later. Also, just a note, we got a lot of great feedback about last week's show. Specifically about some of the stuff Bo talked about. I think you hit a nerve with a few people. A few people are in the same boat and really appreciated your willingness to talk about that stuff. And
I mean, I want to talk about that kind of stuff more, but it's always a bummer. Like for a game that where we're celebrating video games, I'm just like, there's a lot of shitty stuff going on that needs to be questioned. But
sure.
I don't know if that's something we want to talk about every day. I know that there are a lot of people who want to hear more about games and how it relates to their mental health. And I think there's a lot to be said there, but it also is a bummer conversation.
Well, kind of, but so. It can have its place, I think. I mean, we're all, you know, it's like enjoying. Okay. Here's one for you. If you like the occasional cigar, I don't, but if you do, you smoke a cigar and you chill with your friends and it's great. Right. But if you're smoking cigars every time you get a cigar, suck it out, do the next one, you just do it all day, well, then that's bad cigar behavior, right? It's not going to be good for you. It's going to make you sick. You're going to have problems anyway. So don't do that. My point is, if you have a cigar podcast talking about all the great cigars out there, I think that's a okay thing if once in a while, in part of your cigar discussion, you talk about not smoking 15 cigars in an hour. We can talk sure. about video games and how much we love them, but occasionally talk about, yeah, this is a problem. This part of the industry is a problem. This part of games is a problem, or, you know, free to play is actually doing this or that, whatever, whatever these issues are. I think that's totally appropriate for the show. No problem with that at all. So we should, and we'll do more because I don't know. People got a lot out of that conversation, and who's to say we can't have more? Not me, I say. All right. That's it for the show. Thank you all for joining us. Oh my gosh, for a hot second, I read Divinity 2 as Destiny 2, and I thought you changed it and that you were hinting that you were playing Destiny 2.
No.
But that's just my brain.
I installed Skyrim, but I don't think I'll get around to playing it.
You installed Skyrim?
Yes.
What was the thinking there? What are you thinking there?
Well, it's been a while since I played it, and now that I've swapped up upgrades for stuff, and it probably runs smooth and buttery, and it's a nice big immersive game. Might be fun to get in.
Yeah.
I try. There's some mods and stuff there to make. I just don't want. Well, who cares about achievements, really? See, that's why I hate achievements. I'm like, I kind of want to install some mods in there. There's a lot of great mods.
Yeah.
The only thing holding me back was like, oh, but I'm going to lose my achievements.
And who cares?
Like, that's why the system needs to not be there. Like, yeah. It needs to not take up any psychological space in my mind whatsoever when I'm deciding to mod something that I'm not going to get a little check mark in my profile in Steam because it's so important.
I don't do achievements at all. I hate them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I
honestly,
ignore them.
My problem with Skyrim is the opposite. I start saying, okay, time to mod this thing. And I spend hours figuring out what mods, what works with what doesn't work with this. Can I get this? I want something that does this. And by the time I'm all done, I'm like, geez, I'm tired. I'm not going to be playing Skyrim tonight. And then I forget to go back to it.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel you. I haven't been in Skyrim in a long time, but just even talking about it tempts me to install it again.
It's a really good game. Yeah. I think it's like a apex, or not apex, but it's just like a high point for the company and the series and everything.
Oh yeah, you could argue they have not been able to live up to that apex since then.
No,
and
we'll see. They've got interesting things in the pipe that, if they really nail it, are gonna be worth playing. What's it, Starfall or Starfinder or something like that?
Yeah, I hope that's good. I want
another Skyrim or whatever the next Elder Scrolls, probably be fantastic too.
Yeah. And their MMO's good.
That mead with the juniper berries in it.
Yeah, right. That's the stuff. I don't know. They're in a weird place too. Everybody's a little weird right now, but we'll see what the future brings from them and others here on Core. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for watching and being here. Go to our website, frogpants.com/core. If you're looking for a way to support us, you can do that at patreon.com/core show. Excuse me. Every week we do like 20 or more minutes of just yibber yab, and we put it up there. It's the only place you can get it. So if you want our yibber yab, go check that out. That's patreon.com/core. That'll do it for me, for Bo, and for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Jill!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.